So I wonder, Zyra and Natalie, did you ever have a bigger miracle in your life? You know? A bigger miracle in that little tiny package? You know? The miracle of life, it's so awesome, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing that the Lord has done for us. And I'm sure that as you were ready to think about children and you were wondering, wow, what's my baby going to be like? And all of these thoughts, you began to pray a lot. It just is sort of what you do. You begin to pray for the little one and think about that. That wasn't too different way back at the beginning. Because in Genesis chapter 5, 22, it talks about how Enoch, when he had his son, began to walk with God. And so he began to call on the Lord's name. And babies just have a way of calling us back to the Lord. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. We're thinking this week about prayer and coming back to the Lord. And last week we handed out these little books. I think we have some folks that maybe Lewis, maybe you and some others can help out. And we have the books out back there. If somebody still needs one, don't have one yet, please raise your hand. We'll get you a book. I want to make sure that all of our people have one of these books. And so we looked this week at the first chapter, prayer and revival. They'll be back here in just a moment. We talked about prayer and revival. When we talk about prayer and revival, we're not suggesting, all right, raise your hands now. We're not suggesting that you don't pray already. We're not suggesting that at all. We're not suggesting that you don't always already have a walk with Christ. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is coming into a fresher relationship with Jesus. Coming back to what really motivated us, to what really called us to His presence when we first met the Lord. We want to think about knowing Jesus again, that revival of that first love that we had with Jesus, that first love experience. The disciples certainly loved Jesus. There's no question about that. When they were walking with Him day by day, they loved Him through and through. And yet, they still bickered with one another, you know? They still argued, who's going to be the greatest? I'm better than you. What makes you think you're so special? Blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all 1,000 times before wherever you've worked. Right? Same kind of thing. These guys went at each other. And they even did it in front of Jesus. Oh, yeah, they were very coy about it. Very cool. But right there with Jesus, they're still elbowing one another. It's crazy what we do sometimes. These guys had spent years with Jesus. They knew the truth, and yet they were still bickering. They had present truth for their day, and still managed to find a reason to get unhappy with the guy in the pew. Well, not pew, I guess. But sitting next to them. How does that happen? How does that happen? Somehow they needed something. And Jesus knew what that was because He told them in Acts chapter 1, where we read our scripture reading for today. Turn with me, please. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. They knew about the Spirit. They knew what Jesus had for them. They knew all of this truth. But somehow that wasn't enough. Just knowing intellectually wasn't sufficient. Jesus said, you've heard about it from me. Now it's time to experience it. Now it's time to go the next step. Now it's time to have the Holy Spirit come into your life as a real power that works in you. Not just, oh yes, I know about the Spirit, but have the Spirit in you. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Well, what was going to make the difference? What was going to make it so that while Jesus was with them, they were not yet baptized? They'd been some time, he'd walked with them 40 days here, and still, even after the crucifixion, they had not yet been baptized by the Spirit. Now suddenly there was going to be something happen to make this possible. What was going to be the difference? What was going to happen? They watched Jesus go up in the cloud, beginning with verse 9. He was taken up into heaven, and here they were. Well, if they didn't have the Holy Spirit baptize them when Jesus was with them, if they weren't baptized when he was crucified and that made a big difference, and the risen Christ was with them and still they weren't baptized, what was going to happen to make a difference? So here they were. Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went into an upper room where they were staying. So they went into this upper room. They were to wait. And while they were waiting, do you suppose they just played canasta? Maybe they played rook, right? The Adventist game, right? Nobody knows what rook is, I'm sure. Instead, what does it say they did? Verse 14. These all continued. How? With one accord. In prayer and supplication, some versions say, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. All these prayed once for 5 minutes, said, all right, we're ready, Lord. Woo! Is that what happened? Got to start every meeting with a prayer, right? So they had a quick prayer, and then they waited. Is that what happened? They continued in prayer. This constant prayer, this continuing in prayer, this perseverance in prayer. We have a tough time with that word still today. Perseverance. And then it says they continued with one accord. They came together. They were one mind, one spirit. They had given themselves to Christ. They had given away their desire to be the greatest, the desire to tell others how to run their business, to tell others how they should have a relationship with Jesus. They'd given all that away. And now, they were of one accord. You ever have your spouse or one of your children come walking into your house and they say, smells funny. Smells like, I don't know, smells like smoke or something. Yeah, I heard they were having a prescribed burn, or maybe it's one of the neighbors burning trash or something. Oh, okay. And then 5 minutes later, hopefully you've never had this, but 5 minutes later, if a neighbor were to knock on your door and go, "Your house is on fire," you'd go, "Oh!" When it was your spouse or your kids, it's like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. I've heard it, yeah. Because you've smelled smoke before, it didn't make any difference. Nothing was special. You knew all about that. But suddenly, when someone says it's your house on fire, things change for some reason, don't they? Suddenly, it makes a big difference. And it doesn't matter how important the game was that you were watching on television. Little think about tomorrow. Anyway, and it doesn't matter how big the project was or whether you had to get this piece just right now and wait for the glue. No. If your house was on fire, whatever it is, you're dropping it, you're moving on, you're going to find what's going on. You're going to take care of it, right? How come it is that we can talk in church about coming together in unity? We can talk about the importance of spirituality. We can talk about the baptism of the Spirit. We can talk about all these things, and everybody goes, yeah. Heard it all before. But we think when the midnight cry goes out, when somebody says, "Jesus is coming, hey, there's some walls being made," then we'll go, "Oh, whoa," and we'll drop everything and be all ready and save the house. My fireman friend here, how many people are able to go out with their garden hose with a house fully engaged and put it out with a fire hose? Not going to happen, is it? No. The time to be dealing with it is when you go, "What's that smell?" We want to think about that today. We want the Lord to revive us today. We want this to make a difference in our lives. Not just be same old, wow, went to church, heard another sermon. Nice nap. But we want it to make a difference in our lives. You have your little book with you now. Turn to page 24. Page 24. You with me? Under number 4, the second paragraph, it says, commenting on this passage, Ellen White adds, "The promise is made." What promise is that? "The promise that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. The promise is made on the condition that the united prayers of God's people are offered." Is it good for you to pray by yourself? Yes, definitely. But this is talking about the united prayers of God's people are offered, and in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a what? Greater power than that which comes in answer to private prayer. Is private prayer important? Yes, absolutely. We're talking about prayer. That's what we're talking about. We want to be a praying people connected with God, yes? But there's something to be said about us praying together. That's right. As a united body for Christ, praying together. Who? The power given will be proportionate. Proportionate. You know that old thing of one part, what is it? One part oxygen, two parts hydrogen. Is that what it is? Is that how it works? H2O, right? Is that how it works? I don't remember. It's one part oxygen? Yeah. And so if I have 100 parts of oxygen, how many am I going to get of hydrogen? 200. And if I have 1,000 parts of oxygen, how many hydrogen am I going to have? 2,000. It's proportionate, right? The power will be given proportionate to the unity of the members and and something else, their love for God. Okay, I'm good with that. I love God. So I'm together and I'm loving God. I'm cool. Uh-oh. Then it says, and for one another. Ooh, wait a minute. You mean I have to not only be with them on Sabbath morning, but I got to love them too? Oh, man. You're asking too much, preacher. Whew. Come on now. On condition that the united prayers, conditional on united prayers, it is that we have greater power than when we are praying privately. Greater power. And that power is proportionate to our love for God and for one another. Wow. And when that happened, the Holy Spirit came upon them. It's like someone coming to your door and saying your house is on fire. This is how we can know that the Lord is serious in our midst. It's time to get on fire for the Lord. This is what it's all about. This is where it starts. This is how it happens. We come together. We come together united, knowing that God is leading them as well as He's leading me. That it's not just I'm the only one really, truly following God and everybody else is just sort of hanging around. No, we believe God is leading every one of us because all of us are trying for a relationship with Jesus, yes? And so, if I am doubting your relationship, then I'm going to say to you, well, you need to do it this way. No, I believe the Lord's working with you too. Yeah, we can help one another. We can work with one another. But praise the Lord, He speaks to each one of us, yes? And leads each one of us. And so we come together knowing the Lord is going to lead that person we're coming together with, even if they, I don't know, wear one brown sock and one black sock. I don't know. Right? God is going to lead them. God is going to work with them. God is going to help them, and we need to just come together praying for a blessing for Lakeland. All right, some of you are there. Thank you, all right. The Lord wants to do great things through us, just like He did for Jerusalem, just like He did through those disciples, He can do through those of us disciples right here. God wants to do wonderful things. And it happens as we come together, united, and we're praying. We're praying. And then the Spirit is poured out. We talked about four principles in our little book. Do you remember? Four principles. The first one was talking about time alone with God. Not just any time. Oh, I can snatch a moment here or snatch a moment there. I pull out my phone while I'm waiting for the kids to get off the school bus. But we have a specific time each day we give to God. A specific time that we come to Him. And during that time, we use the ACTS model. You remember the ACTS model? Okay. What was the A? Adoration. Good, 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 good. And the C, confession. T, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. And then finally, our supplication. We ask God for His help. We ask God for His help. And so we can use this model as we pray, this ACTS model. This is what the disciples did, you know. they sort of used this model. Not exactly. I mean, they weren't sitting there, okay, what's next on the list? And that's not what I'm asking. Not what I'm asking from you either. But they kind of went through that. I want you to open your bulletin for just a moment. Look at the quote that's on the back of your bulletin there at the bottom of the page. Underneath are the birthdays and the place where it talks about your interests and stuff. The Spirit came upon, are you with me? You with me? The Spirit came upon the waiting. Do you think they were just waiting, twiddling their thumbs or playing rook? No, no. They were asking the Lord for the promise that Jesus had given, weren't they? Yes, so there's the supplication, right? They were waiting, praying disciples with a fullness that reached every heart. The Infinite One revealed Himself in power to His church. It was as if for ages this influence had been held in restraint. And now, heaven rejoiced in being able to pour out upon whom? Individuals. Is that what it says? Just one here, one there, right? Is that what it's talking about? No, God's people as a whole, God's people, all of us, He wants us to be united. He wants us to be together. It is the united church, the body of Christ. Trust me, if your body becomes disassembled and is not unified, you're in trouble, aren't you? The church. Pour out upon the church the riches of the Spirit's grace. Did you catch God's excitement there? Did you see how excited God was there? That He was pent up, you know? He's just been waiting for those ages restrained. And now He rejoiced. God rejoiced that He got this opportunity. Woo-hoo! You can almost hear God yelling, "All right, let's go." It's good. We get all excited about dumb football games. Next year, hardly anybody will remember who's even in it. Okay, if you're a fan of one or the other, you'll probably remember and remind everybody. But nobody else will even want to remember. That's why you have to remind them, I know. But God is so excited. It's way better than a football game. God is excited about the possibilities of the Holy Spirit in your life. What an awesome thing. He wants to do this. He's been waiting to do this. And it says He's now able. Able? What enabled God? I thought God was able to do whatever He wanted. He's suddenly able to do something. Brothers and sisters, God won't violate your freedom of choice. If you decide not to make yourself available, He will honor that choice, right? Prayer, what we're talking about, this revival is simply making yourself available to God. We want to come back to God. And so now He's able because we've given Him permission to work in our lives. God is now able. Ooh, and He's ready to go. He's ready. And so He's been waiting all this time under the influence of the Spirit, words of penitence and confession. There's the C. Mingled with songs of what? Praise. There's the adoration. You see? You see how it works? Yes, for sins forgiven. Words of, huh? Oh, thanksgiving. Look at that. You see, the disciples were right there with us. Words of thanksgiving and of prophecy were heard. Wow. What was the second point? Point number two, after specific time with God each day, the second one in our book was the Scriptures. Spending time with God in the Scriptures. Reading our Bibles. Coming to God. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't know whether God wants me to withhold my tithe or not. He doesn't want my family to suffer. Wait, God's already told us what He wants us to do, right? He's not fooling around. God said it. I believe it, right? That's the way it should be. And so here we have what God has already told us to do. We don't have to worry about wondering. God already told us. All we got to do is look at it, read it, find out. God knows what's best for us. You don't go to the car dealer, buy the car, and then run out and put diesel fuel in it unless it's a diesel engine, right? Because the manufacturer told you what to put in it. Same thing with what you eat. Wonder what God wants you to eat? He's already told you. We know if we just want to listen. There's the rub sometimes, you know. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I want my chips and dip during the game. Ooh, sorry. I better move on, huh? So number two, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Number three, this was different, wasn't it? Wasn't number three a little bit different? Pray aloud. Ooh, pray aloud, come on. That feels funny, doesn't it? That feels a little bit funny. Pray aloud. Somebody come in and think I'm talking to myself or something, huh? Trust me, the Lord is listening. He wants to hear your prayers. Did Jesus pray aloud? Absolutely, absolutely. Praying aloud kind of strengthens it. You know, sometimes you'll hear something, right? You'll hear something like somebody's name or something, you know? You'll hear some names and you think, ooh, how am I ever going to remember those names, right? So what do you do? What do you do? You say it over and over, don't you? And you don't just say it in your head, unless, of course, the person's sitting right there, right? So you say it over and over in your head if you have to, but if you can, you'll say it out loud, won't you? You'll say it out loud. Maybe you'll even write it down, and it'll help you remember. It'll reinforce yourself, doesn't it? And that's the same with prayer. That as we say it out loud, there's something reinforcing there, and the Holy Spirit works with us. We're not embarrassed of God. He's certainly not embarrassed of us, is he? So number one was spend time with God in prayer, a specific time each day. Number two, climb into the Word. Climb into the Word. We've given you a schedule that you can go over day by day, reading the Bible. If you need another one, I have more of them. We have an opportunity to read God's Word. Number three, pray aloud. And then finally, wow, okay, now we've hit the rub. We've hit the rub. It's cool that we talk about things I should do in private, you know, praying and finding time to study the Bible, even praying out loud. Well, that's a little iffy because it's, you know, somebody might discover me. But now I have to actually do something. I have to actually organize a small prayer group. See, now I'm responsible. If I miss my time of prayer, nobody knows but God, you know? And that's cool. He'll forgive me. And if I didn't read the Bible today, nobody knows but God. That's cool. He'll forgive me. But if I miss my time with Robin, then Robin knows. See? And that feels a little awkward there, doesn't it? But if we're going to come together, if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to be the body of Christ, do you think the hand ought to talk with the eyes that directs it, that shows it where to go? Do you think that we ought to be talking one to another, one with another, one for another, praying with and for one another? You think that's a good idea? If the disciples, after Jesus had gone back to heaven, had decided, okay, Peter, you go back to your house, John, back to your house, and they'd all just gone their own separate ways, do you think there would have been the power there was with them in the upper room? You see the difference here. God calls us to come together, to be His people together, to be the body of Christ together, united in love for one another. That's what He's calling us to. And so as we make these small groups, and yes, I'm going to ask you to do this for reals, you know, like in real life. Not just Facebook, but real, you know. I want you to come together, pray together, and I want you to focus on a few things. I want you to focus on revival, the revival of true godliness. That is our greatest and most urgent need, right? It's like somebody knocking on the door, fire! It's our greatest and most urgent need, revival. And I want you to pray through that Acts thing, okay? The adoration, the confession, the thanksgiving, the supplication. Pray through that. And I want you to pray for others. Not so much for yourself. Lord, you know my car's busted. You know, forget those. Pray for others. Pray for others. And so, I would like for us, I know this is bizarre, but are you ready? I'd like for us to take a few moments right now to pray. I want us to pray. And I could ask you to pray just silently right there in your seat, and that would cause a whole lot less chaos. But I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit will keep us in a reverent attitude as we pray. And not talk about other stuff, not get off on other things, but that we take our time right now to pray together with someone else. And yes, pray out loud, obviously, quietly, but we'll pray out loud. Brothers and sisters, do you think that the disciples in the upper room didn't pray out loud with one another? Let's be like them. If they were able in their prayers to ready themselves for the Holy Spirit to come, can we do less today? On whom the ends of the world are come? If they needed it then, how about us? If those who had been with Jesus' physical presence needed to pray, how about us? Let's pray together. Let's come together. Let's be praying for revival. Let's be praying that God will start with me in this revival, that it will be with us. And we want to pray through this Acts, okay? While we're praying here just now, pray through the Acts. Pray adoration to God. Think of something specific to praise God's name for. Something specific to praise God's name for. Number two, confession. Tough time, I know that. Tough time. Be specific. Lord, forgive us for our sins. No. Specific. Specific. Father, forgive me for my lack of faith that I really believed that you could and would do something in our world today and not just have me go and die and molder in the grave like generations before me waiting. Why don't you do something, God, and I don't prepare for it? Forgive me for my lack of faith that I've been willing to just go with the flow and think, wow, what a great sermon, and here we go, another week. Forgive me for my personal Ron Hoffecker lack of faith. Personal. Specific. Thanksgiving. What has the Lord done for you? The Lord forgave me for that. I'm really thankful for that. And He's moving in our church. Praise the Lord, I'm thankful for that. and then supplication. Wait for that for the end. And when you ask the Lord, don't make it about you. Make it about the person you're praying with. Make it about other people. That's what Jesus did. We can do like him.